makes me sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing.
Why don't you shake hands with somebody around you? Just say, I'm glad to see you at church today. Glad it's not freezing cold outside. Seated if you'd like to. I have this hope as an anchor for my soul through every is in Him and what He's done for us. Let's sing. It's a new arrangement of a song that we know. It's called Blessed Assurance. Let's stand together and sing if you would.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit. Submission, all is at rest. I in thy Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness. In His love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior.
Say, Jesus, what a wonderful Savior You are. Thank You for what You did for us on the cross. Thank You for salvation. Thank You that You rose again. And Lord, we get ready in the next season of our church to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. We thank You that we look forward to that. Father, I pray that You'll bless Your word as it goes forth today and be with the pastor as he speaks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Wisdom to discern is what we're talking at today. But first, I just want to say, welcome back. Woo-hoo! All right. I mean, we did have church last Sunday at 8:15, all 13 of us. And we even had one in the balcony. So it was awesome. You know, the Lord says wherever two or more are gathered, he is present, and he was, and we had great worship. But I've been missing the rest of you folks, you know. It seems like I haven't seen some of you since last year. All right? We've had kind of a rough start to the year here. So I'm glad to see you here, and I'm anxious to get to preach this message today and be worshiping with you again today. So I just want to encourage you now to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 for our key verse of the message today, and then we'll be looking at some selected verses. But Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Another thing that I was excited about last week was knowing that even though we just had a few of us here, that there would be many of you sitting by your radio at the 11 o'clock hour, and many of you shot text and let me know that you were listening in and everything, and I like that. But one of you I was talking to this week said, you know, it's not the same sitting around looking at the four walls and listening to the radio. And that's why it tells us in Hebrews not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know, it's great to be able to worship together. So I'm glad to be back in the house of the Lord with you today. But I'm also very grateful for our radio ministry and to those who will be listening in today again at 11 o'clock. We pray that God will speak to you through this service and through this message and give you wisdom, because that's what we'll be talking about today. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Let's pray. Father God, we do pray for wisdom today. Father, from your church leadership on down to each and every one of us, Father, in the day in and day out living of life, we ask for wisdom. We ask for wisdom to make right choices day to day and in each moment, Father. We ask for wisdom in every situation, because you are the giver of wisdom, and your word tells us that we simply need to ask. So we ask today, and Father, I pray that you will speak to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Wisdom to discern. You know, the New Living Translation reads, that same verse reads like this: getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do, and whatever else you do, develop good judgment. I love the book of Proverbs. It's just plain and simple application to everyday life. And you get that stanza telling you what is wise and another one telling you what is unwise. I love the book of Proverbs. And the key word in the book of Proverbs is wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to live life skillfully. In the introduction of my Bible, there's a sentence that says this: a godly life in an ungodly world. Wisdom gives you the ability to live a godly life in an ungodly world. However, it is no simple assignment. If you spend any time in Sunday school, you've heard the stories of King Solomon. You know the stories that surround his wisdom. And he is the primary author of the book of Proverbs. And in all the stories of Solomon, there is one that stands out: when he became king of Israel. Now, the Bible tells us that he was a wise king. How did he get that wisdom? Early in his reign, we learned that he loved the Lord and that he was committed to following him. He presented a great sacrifice of 1,000 burnt offerings when one would have done. He loved the Lord greatly, so God spoke to him in a dream. And in this dream, he says, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon's answer revealed a great trust in God and love for God and great humility. And it showed his awareness and the significance of his role as king. So if you'll turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 3. We'll get there. I probably said that wrong. 1 Kings chapter 3, said it right the first time. 1 Kings chapter 3. Verse 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, picking up at verse 3, we're going to read through verse 9. It says, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed burnt incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, so there was this high place, for that was a high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked, 'Ask, what shall I give you?' And Solomon said, You've shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You've continued your great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you've made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go in, go out, or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart. Judge your people that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Who is able to judge? He later penned the words of our key verse today, Proverbs 4:7. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. This humble, selfless request was pleasing to God. As you read on in verses 10 through 14, the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you've asked this thing and have not asked for long life yourself, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked to discern yourself, understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall there be any after you who arise. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among all the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways, if you keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. I love this story as a young boy in Sunday school, of hearing how Solomon was granted this request by God. Ask, what do you want? Now, you know, I often think and compare that to sometimes the stories we hear about, you know, somebody coming upon a genie bottle and rubbing it, and out pops a genie and says, ask for anything. You know, and I often thought, what would I ask for in that situation as a young man, as a little child? And so my imagination would work on that, and I'd say, well, you know, I'd ask for all the money in the world. But if I had all the money in the world, it'd only mean something to me, nobody else. I'd ask, you know, okay, well, they usually just give one wish, so you got to make it good. I think what I'll ask for is that every time I ask for a wish, it's granted. I thought it was wise. And then later in some movie, I saw that the genie popped out and said, you can ask for anything, but you cannot ask for any, that all your wishes be granted, you know. So, you know, it can be a curse. But a lot of times I think about, what would we ask for if we were given that request? Solomon asked for wisdom. He chose wisdom. He could have chosen long life. He could have chose riches. He could have chose victory over his enemies. But he chose wisdom. And what I want you to notice is that unselfish request laid a foundation for Solomon's success to come. And in his early encounter with God, he chose wisely. Both a love for God and a love for the people was reflected in this choice. As a result, God not only granted his request to be wise, he did grant him riches, honor, and a long life. He granted it with a condition. And I think it's a condition worth noting. As long as he walked with God. So many times we wonder why our life gets off kilter, off centered, even as a Christian. And it really comes back to this. Are we walking with God? Are we making wise choices? This wisdom that Solomon was granted was quickly put to the test. As we know, the story continues. When we pick up in verse 16 of that same chapter, it says, now two women who were harlots came to the king, stood before him. And one woman said, oh, my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house. And I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth, and we were together. No one was with us in the house except for the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. And she arose in the middle of the night, took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom. and laid the dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was, dead. But when I examined him in the morning, indeed he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, no, the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. And the first woman said, no, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is mine. Thus they spoke before the king. It's wisdom being put to the test. There he is. What a mess. He has these two women before him. Both had recently given birth to sons. One rolled over in the middle of the night, laid on her child. That child passed, and she did the old switcheroo. And now Solomon had a he said, or a she said, she said story. Who do you believe? Both women were passionately arguing their case. Solomon's wisdom is at a test. He is facing a big mess. What did he do? Well, in his wisdom, he went for maternal love. Do you notice how the one mother says, for example, that there he was dead, but then I noticed he was not the one whom I gave born. Do you think a mother would know her son and recognize that? She knew who her son was. Now, nobody else did. Nobody else was in the house. Nobody else saw the child at this point. So nobody else knew, but the mother did. And so Solomon made this choice. He orders the child to be cut in half. And one half of the child be given to the one mom, and the other half of the child be given to the other mom. Now, unfortunately, even in today's world, to some people, that would make sense. Well, that's fair. Each one gets half a kid. The child's dead, but each one gets half. So isn't that fair? Isn't that equal distribution? But one woman cried out, and she said, no, let her have the whole child. The mom, who had already been nursing and caring for 3 days, spoke out with compassion, and she begged Solomon to give the baby to the other woman while the other woman was willing to accept half of a dead child. It sounded good to her. Solomon's wisdom is now on display. And he says, give the child to this woman, the one who pled for the child. Word spread quickly, and everybody knew Solomon was a wise king. So last week, we looked at how God is involved in our decision-making process. How he provides us with divine direction. How he speaks very clearly in his word on some things, and other things we have to use wisdom to decide. Last week we talked about how God looks at who you are before what you do. He's more concerned about the relationship he has with you than what you can do for him. And we talked about becoming the right who before you can do the right do. Almost sounds like a Cat in the Hat story, doesn't it? Then we talked about the motives behind what we do. The why before the what. Now, Craig, in his book, Divine Direction, summarized it with this statement. When you're becoming the right who, God will lead you to the right do. And when you're living for the right why, it's easier to discern the right what. So, today we're going to learn that God is not always going to tell you what to do. But if we ask, he will always give us wisdom to do the right do and for the right why. Wisdom to discern and decide as you walk with God in your life, not just for the big decisions that come along, but for every decision you make in life. God gives you wisdom when you ask. And don't wait until something really big comes along and says, God, please give me wisdom. Pray for it on a regular basis. Seek it daily. I've encouraged you to follow the Bible reading plan that I posted on Facebook. And if you get a chance to read it, read it. If you get the opportunity, pick up Greg Groeschel's book, Divine Direction. Some of what I share in this message series comes from here. It's limited in what I share. There's much, much more in the book, so I want to encourage you to pick up the book if you want to go deeper, or if you're really wrestling with some decisions in your life now, direction of where God would have you to go. This is a great book. I read it last fall. It spoke greatly to me, and that's why I'm developing this series based upon what he talks about in this book as well. But you're going to get a lot more out of this if you'll read the book. You can even go to lifechurch.com and listen to his messages on it, because he goes different directions than I do, but we're in much of the same scripture. However, there is much, much more to this if you dig a little deeper. So I want to encourage you to do that. This morning, we're going to look at three principles involved in gaining and growing in wisdom. Gaining and growing in wisdom. The first one is this: walk with the wise. Turn with me to Proverbs again. Proverbs chapter 13. I love this verse. You know what? I just flat out love God's word. I say that so much about a verse. I love this verse. I love this verse. This is one of my favorite verses. I just flat out love God's word. Proverbs 13:20. This is one of those verses where you get the wise and the foolish. But he says, Proverbs 13, he who walks with wise men will be wise. He who walks with wise men will be wise. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. This verse is speaking about choosing your friends wisely. Be careful who you hang with. I remember my youth leader saying that in our youth group when I was in high school. He would say, you are who you hang with. You can be guilty by association. You can be influenced by your friends. We talked a lot about the word peer pressure. And we even kind of joked around it in school because we thought the answer to every youth leader's question was peer pressure. So if you ask the youth leader asks you a question and you don't know the answer, just say peer pressure. It's the right answer. But we are influenced by our peers. We are influenced by those people that we hang around with. So choose your friends wisely. He who walks with wise men will be wise. I found that to be true in good and bad ways. This ties into the motives that we talked about last week. Why do you have the friends that you have? Why do you hang with the people you hang with? Are you trying to please God or trying to please man? In high school, I worried too much about making friends, entertaining my friends. I was the class clown, you know. When the teacher walked out of the room, I was the guy who got up in front of the chalkboard and started entertaining the class. And I got caught doing that a couple times. Was not wise. But I entertained my friends. I would do a lot of things. I would participate in activities I knew that they were wrong, because I didn't want to lose my friends. I wanted to be like my friends. And whenever I was convicted to please God with my choices, I had to overcome the pressure that came from my friends. So it's true, we are influenced by those that we hang with. That, again, is why it's all the more important to look at Hebrews 10:25. Why does God call us together in assembly? So that we are an influence on each other for the good. It's almost impossible to live the right life, to make the right choices, when you're hanging with the wrong friends. Ask anyone who's been successful in breaking addictions, and they will tell you their friends influence their habits. They had to find new friends. Old friends support bad habits. That's why recovery groups are so successful. In order for you and me to be wise, we need to surround ourselves with wise people, helpful friends, encouragers. We need to stay away from toxic people, or people who pull us down, or as the word says, the companions of fools will be destroyed. We need to stay away from foolish people. Look at your goals. Look at your motives. Who are you trying to please, God or man? And let that influence who you hang around with. Hang around the right people. Hang around the assembling of those who are gathered. Look for mentors. Be an influencer and not just influenced. Don't always be a follower, but he may be calling you to be a leader in someone else's life. Walk with the wise. Our second principle is to walk, or is to ask for wisdom. Turn with me to James 1:5. It's a verse we know well. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I love the promises of God in the Bible. That's one that you want to circle. Ask for wisdom. Our Father is wisdom, and he is the giver of wisdom. Ask. God has all the resources that we need. God has always given us the freedom to choose and to desire, and he desires that we ask for wisdom. He's given us the freedom to choose a relation with him, to have one with him or not. And when we choose to have that relationship with him, he wants us to walk in his fullness, in his power, in his love, and in his wisdom. He wants everything that he has, he wants to bestow upon us. Remember, God wants more from us than the religion. He wants the relationship. He wants to walk with us. So walk with him in this relationship. Make it a regular thing that as you walk, it's just a natural thing to turn to God and ask for wisdom. To ask. And he will give it. Because he is the giver of wisdom. He has all this wisdom, and he's not just going to dump it on us. He wants us to ask for it. Turn with me to Psalms 32:8. Psalms 32:8. Reads, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I will advise you, guide you, watch over you. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. He has all this wisdom, all this knowledge. And as we get into his word, and as we ask, we receive. And we're on a learning curve. We don't have and know all the things that God knows. But he's there watching over us, leading us, instructing us, guiding us. That's why it's important that we stay fresh in his word, that we ask him for advice. I like it a lot of times. If you're a parent for any length of time, you've known that, especially when your children get to be teenagers, they don't see you as all that wise. They're not asking for your advice or guidance. But there's a time in their younger years where that was so important, and there's a time when they come back and it's so important. I love this. I'm going to show you a little video clip of Craig with his son, teaching him how to ride a bike. It brought back memories for me, so I hope it speaks for you too.
Watch over you. And as I read that, it reminded me so much of a moment that most parents will have with their children. The moment when a parent teaches a child to ride a bicycle. And I just happened to have video of when I taught my fifth child, Stephen, to ride his bicycle and watch as a father guides, advises, and watches over.
Ready to ride, Book? Put your helmet on. Are you scared?
No.
What if you fall?
I know you will catch me.
You're doing good.
No, no, no! Dad, I'm in the stickle patch. Dad, why did God make stickers?
I don't know why God made stickers. It's a good question.
Good question.
All right, here we go. Go. You got it. Guide you, advise you, watch over you, guide you, advise you, watch over you, and celebrate with you.
All right. I love that. One, because it reminded me of teaching my children how to ride a bike. I love his little question. And I've asked this question many times of God, why did you make stickers? All right. So we see that God, just like a father, is over us, watching us, guiding us. He's not going to let harm come to us. Yes, we're going to be tested and we will endure hardships, but he still has his guiding hand over us. That's a great image of that. And I remember teaching my youngest daughter to drive. Or not youngest daughter, the middle daughter is the one I'm thinking of. The middle one. And this was the one that Lisa and I would kind of share that role a little bit. But this was one Lisa said, you teach her. All right. And so I would be going down the side of the road, and I would see a mailbox awful close to the car, and I'd say, I don't need to check their mail, you know, so and things like that. So I was guiding her and advising her, and she was taking that advice a little better for me than she would her mom, not talking back as much. And she learned how to drive. But I was also the one she called one day when she went around a curve that had, much like the conditions today, it wasn't ice, but it was wet, and she went around a curve a little too fast, the same road I'd been up and down with her several times, and lost it and wound up next to some farmer's fence. And called on Dad to come out. Now, I could have gave great lectures on this is why you don't drive fast, but it was a learning opportunity. One, I was just so glad she didn't hit a tree or something like that. You know how that is as a parent, but yet you have that opportunity to guide and advise and watch over. And we want to share with our children the wisdom that we have. If we have the knowledge, we want to impart that knowledge to them. But there comes a time when we have to back away. You take the training wheels off, and you let them go. And then they go. But guess what? You're still a parent. And they can call on you anytime, just like we can call on our Father anytime, for advice, guidance, and instruction. With the advent of Marco Polo or FaceTime on the phones, there's a lot of times there's a little plumbing issue or something. My daughters will do more than my son-in-laws will on repairs around the house. I have a daughter in Little Rock that's done her own plumbing, you know, but she'll give me a picture and talk to me about it and say, Dad, what should I do here? And that makes me a little proud because she could Google it, and there's guys who do it much better than I do, you know, on the Googles, but they still will ask Dad. Ask for wisdom. Don't be afraid to ask. And then decide wisely is the third one. Walk with the wise, ask for wisdom, and then decide wisely. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, and we're in chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. It's a simple verse, and it's a great story that follows, but it says, therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone. Some translations say we thought it best to be left in Athens alone. I want to tell you this morning that after all the talk, after all the gathering of information, after all the prayer, a time of decision comes. And the question for our message today is, how do we decide? How do we discern wisely? How do I know that this is what God wants me to do? And we can go, like we talked about last week, we can go to God's Word, and we know there are some things we simply don't have to ask WWJD for. We don't have to ask what Jesus would do because the Bible clearly states it. Should I pray? Yes. Witness, share my faith, yes. Go to church, yes. Refrain from gossip, yes. Have compassion on those in need. Obey the posted speed limit. Pay my taxes. Be faithful to my wife. The Bible is clear on this. And we don't have to ask, what would you have me do in this situation, God? Because he's going to say, read the book. It's all there. Read the book. But what about the things that are not clearly spelled out for us? What about those decisions that are not clearly laid out in God's Word? Wisdom. God has given us wisdom. God gives you wisdom to decide. I mentioned last week a former company I used to work for by the name of Verizon, and they would take 13 weeks of training before they would ever put you out on the job. And when you went to the job, they would leave you with these encouraging words. You only learn 20% of what you need to know. Okay, the 80 you're going to learn on the job. But what they did was they gave you the basic fundamentals, the foundational knowledge that you needed to know. They gave you the ethics of the business so that you treated people fairly. They gave you the guidelines to go by, like we have the Ten Commandments, and then they said, you are empowered to make good decisions. You don't have to ask your supervisor in every situation, what should I do here? Unless you really cannot figure it out. But we trust you to be able to do that. God has given us wisdom. He doesn't make every decision for us. He gives us the freedom to choose, but he trusts us to choose wisely when we seek wisdom from him. In our text today, that simple verse, therefore we could no longer endure it, this is Paul writing. He's anxious in Athens. Sounds like the name of a movie, doesn't it? Anxious in Athens. Okay, we're called to live the Christian life. But the being obedient to God and living the Christian life is not easy. It's not just a rose-colored path. Life is not easy. The difficulties we will encounter will often cause us great stress. And in this context, Paul is anxious because he's in this situation and he hears about the troubles in the church at Thessalonica. He's worried about this new church and he's asking himself this question, should I stay or should I go? Do I stay here in Athens or do I need to go attend to the problems that are going on at the church in Thessalonica? What do I do? I can't be in both places at once. What do I do? And he's asking it, it's really in the context of we. He's getting counsel from others. And young Timothy is there with him. And he makes a decision. And he makes a decision to send his young protege, Timothy. Because he knows Timothy and he trusts Timothy. He's going to be able to go out and help this persecuted church. And he sends Timothy. He makes a decision. Now, God didn't say, send Timothy. He gave Paul the wisdom to decide. The key thought for our message today is in that phrase, we thought it best. We thought it good. He sought direction from God, but did not have a direct command from God. God did not give a clear directive, but Paul and those with him thought it best. They made a decision. They laid out the plan to both strengthen the Thessalonian church by sending Timothy and also giving them confidence in who they were sending, that they were in good hands. Because Proverbs 4:7 says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Paul exercised wisdom and good judgment in putting a plan into action. And according to those outside observing from the outside, they would have said, Paul, you're the best one to go. Paul, you're the apostle. It's your job, Paul. You go. But Paul thought it best, and those with him, to send young Timothy. I'm telling you, it's not easy to be in leadership because your decisions are always second-guessed. They're often challenged by an armchair quarterback, like when you're watching a football game on TV and you shout out at the TV like the coach can hear you, you should have ran the ball. Okay? And then when you're watching the Minnesota Vikings and that last Hail Mary pass, whew, wasn't that good? Don't you love football? Amen. Okay, just checking the crowd out here a little bit. But man, somebody made that decision. Now, if he'd have missed that ball, it would have been the lousiest decision on planet Earth. But if you don't take risk like that at times, you don't get the glory. It was quite a moment. Pastor Craig stated something that in his message that I think resonated with me and would with many a preacher. This is what he said. He said, I'm going to tell you right now as a pastor, all the times, there are some times I know God is directing me. And other times God just says, I'm trusting you. You make the decision and you move forward. And I ask, well, what if I make a mistake? What if I make a mistake? Guess what? When you make a mistake, what do you get? Wisdom. When you make a mistake, you learn from it, right? I can tell you, I've been there, I've done that, I bought the t-shirt. I know what it's like to make decisions that were good, I know what it's like to make decisions that were bad. In 35 years of ministry, I've done both. In a year and a half of ministry here, I've made some mistakes. I know it'd be very hard to find them, but if you look, right, no, I've made mistakes. But and I know in my spiritual gut at times there was something that needed to be done, and like Paul, I was anxious. Anxious in Mountain Grove. But unlike Paul, in those times I've delayed or hesitated in times when I knew I needed to be more decisive. I was discerning but not deciding. And there was other times I was deciding but not discerning. We've all been there in those kind of situations. And so that's why it's all the more important that you pray for your pastor and your pastors. You pray for all of us. You pray that God will give us wisdom to lead and discern. And then in that power, let us lead. And then we need to realize, too, that this isn't just for pastors and leaders that Paul is speaking to here. It's for the church. We all need to walk in wisdom. James says, let anyone ask. He doesn't say let the pastors ask or let the leaders ask, but he says let anyone ask. That's you and me. That's every one of us. We are all empowered to make good decisions by the power of God as we walk with him in love, as we walk with him in compassion, and as we walk with him in wisdom. because getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Proverbs 4:7. By now you might realize you probably ought to highlight that one in the Bible. Circle that one. That's a good one. Solomon knew the wisest thing he could do was to serve God, to love God, and to seek wisdom. So as we wrap things up today, let's make this our prayer. Lord, give me wisdom. It's a simple request. Lord, give me wisdom. And then we might follow that with, my dad would say, you can be the most intelligent person in the world and not have common sense. So Lord, give me common sense. Give me wisdom, and then give me the common sense to know that I will gain this wisdom by giving my life to you first, by walking with you in relationship. It's not just something that I rub a bottle and ask for, that I gain wisdom by walking in relationship with you. Give me the common sense to know that. Give me the common sense to know that as I get into your word and I go deeper in your word, and as I walk with you and walk with you regularly, I will grow in all aspects. In your word, I may see your truth, that I'll be changed forever, transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I will live for your glory, and that every decision I'll make was not based on me and my motives, but more on how does it bring you glory. Give me wisdom to see my own sin before the sin of others. It's so easy for me to cast judgment on others. But if I want to develop good judgment, I got to back up and get wisdom first. Give me wisdom to see my own sin before the sin of others, to confess my sin, and to be thankful for the grace that you've given and the forgiveness of my sins. And be compassionate then in my ministry to others, even in the midst of their sin. And then someone here today needs to know that the wisest thing you can do is say yes to Jesus today. So as we stand together today, I want to encourage you to consider what is your next step. That any time that we hear God's word, that we gather together and worship together, we should be asking God, what's my next step? What do I do with this information you've given me today? What part, what word did you have for me? And I'm going to say that, first and foremost, it probably surrounds praying for wisdom, asking God for some wisdom. Asking God how you can be the best you in the situation you find yourself in right now today. Or the conversation you find yourself in right now. Or a conversation you may find yourself in just a few moments or after church or tomorrow. How can I be the best who in this situation? Who can I be so that I'm doing the right thing for you? Maybe today he's saying to you, the wisest decision you can make is say yes to Jesus. I just want to ask you a simple question. Is there anyone here today who has never given it all to the Lord, who has not made the decision, the most important decision of all your life, to follow Jesus? Would you make it today? I encourage you to come out today, come and pray at the altar right now and say, Pastor, I want to receive Christ as Lord in my life, as the leader who helps me make the right decisions, and as the forgiver of my sins, because I don't always make them. Maybe it's today. But the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you need to say yes if you've not said yes today. Don't put it off. Don't delay. But maybe you're here today and you know you're seasoned in this. You've been to church many years, and you've lived life long enough like the pastor to know that there are some times you've made a mistake. And you need to confess it to the Lord and ask for divine direction. Maybe here today you've made a decision and it was the right decision, but it's cost you some, and you're kind of doubting your faith. And you say, well, why did I choose to do the right thing, but yet I'm being tested in this way? And you need to pray for God for the strength to endure, because you will be persecuted. You will be shot at. It's not easy being a Christian today. Not literally shot at, and though in some places that does happen, but you'll be shot down. Somebody will make fun of you for your faith. But have the courage, unlike I didn't, did in high school. There were many times I did not have the courage to stand up for what I knew in my gut was right and what was wrong, and I was more worried about what my friends thought. And that doesn't get you a whole lot. And I confess that to God, and I've asked for His forgiveness, and I know He's given it, because I don't ever want to be in that situation again. I don't want to miss an opportunity to be courageous for the Lord and to take my stand and to live out my faith. I don't want to stand in the way of somebody making it to heaven because I chose unwisely. So make your choice today. Make your choice today.
Okay. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Power and light alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe.
Thank you, Jesus.
Sin had left a crimson stain. He
white as snow. Man, what a great place to be. We were dirty, we were stained, and He washed us white as snow. He gave us a new start. He gave us a life of meaning and purpose. I would not want to live life any other way than without Jesus. Not in this world. I want Jesus, and I want more of Him, and I want you to want more of Him today too. Got a couple bashful ones here today, but two weeks ago for this one, and then a few weeks ago, one of our ladies in church led you to the Lord, and Jerry, you made that decision Wednesday night, and they both have prayed to receive Christ. Okay. Another one right here today. Okay, all right, okay. So we have some baptisms coming up to celebrate this lease on life, but I want to encourage you that as we dismiss today, to come on down front and just welcome them to the family. We've seen God at work in these ladies' lives greatly over the past few months, and I want you to know that God can take a person at any point in their life, and He can make a dramatic change, a transformation. It's called a new life, and you become a new creature in Christ. And then from that point on, everybody here will tell you it's easy. You'll never face another trouble. No, that's not true. You'll face challenges, and some of you already know that. Okay, you're going to face these challenges, but we as a body are here to help you. And what God asks us to do is to do everything we can. He's give to make right choices, because that's what we talked about today, right? So you have a great decision you've just made, and every decision you make from this point on affects the success that you're going to have in your Christian walk. We're here to help you with that. All right, that's what the church is about. So we celebrate with you today. So let's welcome them to the family. Okay. All right, if you ladies will have a seat right here, and then when we dismiss, come back up here, and y'all come back through. I'm going to ask if our ushers will come forward now. We're going to have our time of offering, and we'll be closing out with some singing as well, and then as soon as we close out, come down and welcome these ladies into the fellowship.